is alive. And that is our celebration of the day. And I believe that just as surely as I'm standing before you. I live according to that. I commit myself in all my imperfections and all of the struggles that I, like any of us, but I commit myself to the truth of Jesus Christ. And in that, we find truth. Now, how do I know that? I could list all sorts of reasons how and why I know that. My life experiences, God's Word, my family, my churches that I've been a part of, over and over and over and over and over. I see the absolute fact and truth that Jesus lives. However, the thing I want to talk to you about for just a little bit this morning is what we would call an eyewitness account. Or in fact, several eyewitness accounts. Are you aware that after the resurrection, that Jesus appeared to his people 8 times? Now you think God didn't know what he was doing? Think about what it means to have eyewitness to accounts. Not hearsay, not maybes, certainly not conspiracy theories, certainly not any of those kinds of things, but where trustworthy people have witnessed and experienced the presence and the personhood and the words and the spiritual being of Jesus Christ after he walked out of that grave. And so I want you to look at, now we're not going to look at all 8 of them, but we're going to refer to 3 of them this morning. We've already spoken of one, that beautiful scene where Mary Magdalene encountered Jesus Christ at the entrance to the tomb. She was devastated because her Lord, she thought, was gone. And now he was not. He was alive, standing right in front of her, calling her name. What a joy for that young lady to have this Lord that she loved so much, who had saved her from so much. And now she's standing before him there at the tomb entrance, and he's saying, Mary. I hope you think about that, because there are names on every one of us in this room. And just as surely as he would call Mary's name, I know he will call my name, Don, or your name. And please put your name in that scene. And so certainly, that's an eyewitness account. And then we're going to talk about a story where on the same day, there were 2 people walking down the road to a village called Emmaus. Now, who were these 2 people? We're not totally sure of both of them. We are sure of one of them. His name was Cleopas. But Cleopas also had a wife. Her name was Mary. Pretty common name during those days. But in the book of John, we have, on the account of the crucifixion, we have a list of names who witnessed the crucifixion, and one of the names was Mary, wife of Cleopas. Well, in this story on the road to Emmaus, we know that Cleopas is there because it's in Scripture, and I believe, and many believe, that Cleopas and Mary lived in Emmaus. That was their home village. And now here on the middle of the morning, probably on a Sunday, on that first and special resurrection day, this couple, were walking from Jerusalem back to Emmaus to their home. And the Scripture says that it was the same day, that resurrection day, and they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And suddenly to them, a stranger stepped up beside them It says that Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. And I want to emphasize right there that Jesus will always come to you. He came to us over 2,000 years ago. That's why we're even here, because he left heaven and came to us. Well, now here we see a small taste of that as he came to this couple walking on the road. And he came to them, and he wanted to encounter them, but they did not recognize him. They did not know who it was. Now, explain that. God's power, he did not want them to recognize. Maybe they were so consumed with grief and guilt and feelings that they couldn't recognize him. But it says that they walked along, he walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And then he asked them, "What are you discussing?" Now, isn't that a strange question? Do you think Jesus knew what they were discussing? Remember, he knows all. But now, understand that in here and in everything that Jesus does with us, he is working out his purposes. He's teaching, and he wants to engage them. So he says, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" And it says that they stood still, their faces downcast. Now, why were their faces downcast? Cleopas and Mary, this couple, were followers of Jesus Christ. They were part of his groups. No, Cleopas was not a disciple, not an apostle, but they were disciples of such because they believed in and followed Jesus Christ. And now, and as far as they were concerned, he is dead. They saw him die. He died on the cross just this past Friday. And so now they are downcast. They are grieving. They are depressed because they have lost their friend and the Lord. So it says their faces were downcast, and one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And Jesus follows that up with another strange question. He says, "What things?" Now, you might at this point say, "What's going on here?" Well, it's very simple to explain. Jesus is engaging these two in thoughts and feelings and discussion about what he wants them to think about and what he wants to accomplish on this resurrection day over 2,000 years ago, and also what he wants to accomplish for you and me here today, these many, many, many years later. So, he's saying, "What things?" And then Cleopas jumps in and he starts talking about this Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, who was a man of God, who showed power, who had power in the Word, and power in the people, and power to heal, and power to change. And he talks about that. But then he states a real statement of confusion, because Cleopas says, "But we had hoped that he was one who was going to redeem Israel. And he's already said that now they have killed him." The leaders of the Jewish faith and the Roman legions had hung him on a cross. And we had hoped that he was going to redeem Israel. Now here is a statement of confusion and disillusionment. Because even though Cleopas and Mary, along with all the disciples, the apostles, they had been with Jesus for these past 3 or 4 years. And they still didn't understand. And this is part of the struggle and part of what Jesus is doing with them as he engages them. And then Cleopas goes on and said, "And what is more, it is the third day since all of that. And in addition, some of our women amazed us because they went to the tomb and they came back saying that they had heard that he was alive. And so now Cleopas and Mary are walking down the road to Emmaus, and they're completely confused and disillusioned, and they don't know, and why is Jesus there with them? He's there with them for them and for us. He is experiencing, giving them an eyewitness account. And he goes on. And then Jesus does something unusual, because remember, Jesus is a man of truth, of honesty, of integrity. And he challenges, or in fact, I would even say he rebukes Cleopas and Mary, because he says, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Now think for a moment about how many times Jesus had said to his followers that he was going to go up to Jerusalem, he was going to be turned over to the religious leaders, they were going to try him and crucify him, and he was going to die, but then he was going to rise again on the third day. Jesus had said that not once, twice, but several times in these last few weeks. Surely Cleopas and Mary had heard him say that. They did not realize, they were not accepting that. They were still saying, well, maybe he's going to live forever and redeem Israel. But Jesus has now rebuked them, and then he ministers to them. Listen to this, because it says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself." Now, this was probably a 3-hour Bible study. Yes, it says, he started with Moses and he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures. Now, they're walking down the road, and it probably takes 2 to 3 hours to walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And so apparently, this Bible study that was led by the author of the book, think about that, Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus is the author of the book, and now Jesus is going through the book, the Old Testament, and explaining all the many references and all the indications, all the foreshadowing that we have talked about even right here in this room in the Old Testament of Jesus and the resurrection and all the plan of God through Jesus Christ. And so now Jesus is explaining to this couple. Then it says, "And they approached the village to which they were going, and Jesus acted as if he was just going to go on about his trip." Now, it sounds like, again, Jesus is playing a trick on them. Not so. Jesus does not play tricks. He has purpose in all of what he does. And so he acts as if he is going on down the road on his trip. But they, because they're now intrigued and captured by this Jesus Christ that has listened to them and encouraged them and challenged them, they ask him, they invite him to come in, I believe, to their home. Now, think about that. Jesus has presented himself in this beautiful experience on Resurrection Day, and he is now declaring in all sorts of ways that he is the Lord, and he's about to show that in a very emphatic way, but he is accepting their invitation. Do you realize that Jesus will present himself, he will come to you, and then, and only then, it's up to you and me to invite him in. He's not an invader. He does not come with a baseball bat to hit you upside the head. He comes to present himself in truth, and then he waits for you and I to ask him in. And that's exactly what he does with Cleopas and Mary. They ask him in, and when he was at the table, apparently in their home, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. And what happened? Their eyes were open. Now, why? They have seen that from Jesus Christ many times before. They have sat with him at meals. They may have been, although we don't know, they may have been in the upper room at the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper. But they've seen and heard Jesus give thanks and to share that intimacy of a meal and a prayer. And when Jesus broke bread and gave thanks for that bread, they recognized him. Their eyes were open, and then something very strange happens. Jesus disappears. Now remember, he is of the spiritual realm now. He's not of the physical realm. He has spent 33 years in the physical realm, fully man and fully God. But now he's in the spiritual realm. He is spirit. He is physical somewhat, but spiritual totally. And now, and in several other places that we will see next week and the next week, for those of you that will join us, we're going to see him in this spiritual realm appearing and disappearing. But at this point, it says that they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. And they celebrated what they had learned in the Bible study that Jesus had taught him. And what did Cleopas and Mary do? They got up from their home, from their table, and they went back out on the road that leads back to Jerusalem. Now, is it in the middle of the day? No. It just said a few minutes ago that evening time had come, that the night was coming. Why did they go back to Jerusalem? Because they were empowered, they were inspired, they were clarified by the presence and the words of Jesus Christ. And they wanted to go back and share with their brothers and sisters back in Jerusalem. And it says, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And I remember that was another 2 to 3 hour walk. They didn't have a nice car to drive. They walked back to Jerusalem. And it says there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen. He is alive." Now that's what we're declaring today. Cleopas and Mary went back to the other disciples, the other followers, and they had a time of celebration, just like we're having a time of celebration here. And the fact is that the very next scene, Jesus Christ appears in that room with all of the followers, with Cleopas and Mary, and this whole day has become a wonderment of inspiration and motivation and clarification and commitment and on and on and on between Cleopas and Mary and all of the other disciples. They started the day in grief. They end the day in celebration and thanksgiving. This is Resurrection Day. And he is alive.